This is lesson number 16, I believe. For some reason, I can't keep track of them, but it looks like my paper says last week was 15. So we will let Chip sort that out. Apologize, Chip, for that one. But anyway, we are in, or the title of our study is Possessing Our Possessions. We're doing some things in the Old Testament concerning the nation of Israel, who were told to go in and possess the land. This in itself draws something parallel to our own hope and calling, in the sense that we too have possessions, and we need to possess them. And we see the struggle that the nation of Israel had, particularly in the wilderness. Last week, we've made it out of Egypt, and last week we're starting this little journey between Egypt and Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, of course, I believe would catch your attention that that's when the law was given. So there's a couple of month period of time here, and how do I know that? Because he tells us that. The scriptures tell us distinctly as to some dates here, and for what it's worth. But I think one of the reasons is, at least in my mind, is that the Lord shows us that it was a very short period of time between Egypt and Mount Sinai. We know there was an 11-day journey between where they left Egypt to the land of Canaan, where their goal, the land of milk and honey. But the Lord decided not to take them that way, and we've read that verse several times, that he didn't take them through the wilderness, or not that it wasn't a wilderness. He didn't take them through the trail that led to the past the Philistines, because he was afraid that they would turn around. They would see the Philistines and they would return to Egypt, and so he would not give them a shortcut back. If they're going to go back, they're going to have to go back through the wilderness that's going to face them for 40 years. And they were the ones who dictated that 40 years. However, the Lord was the one who led them. So what we're doing right now, we're in a period of time between leaving Egypt, putting the bondage behind, and getting the law. So remember that when we read these passages of Scripture, because they have not received the law, and there's a reason for it, and I think we'll read that today. And bear with me, because I don't know if I'm coming down with a bug or whatever, but it's definitely affecting my mind a little bit as to speaking here. So last week, one thing we did, we looked at a couple of passages of Scripture that when Israel was coming through the Red Sea, they looked, and we had a little lesson on the eyes. It says they lifted up their eyes and they looked back, and they saw Pharaoh and those chasing them. So let's turn back to 14. Now, there's some things I left out of that. I think that's very important. Because there's another one. There's another entity here that looked. And that was the Lord himself. So let's compare the two. So Exodus 14, we'll just read a short passage of Scripture here. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. So this we say they lifted up their eyes. And we looked at another example of one who lifted her eyes or looked back, and that was Lot's wife, as she became a pillar of salt. And the Lord had made provisions for them to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, and he also made a provision to protect them, but Lot chose a different route that he thought was safe, and it allowed his wife to look back, and she became a pillar of salt. So I think there's several lessons there, but one of them is there's a man in this house, and he's the one who takes all the responsibility, I believe, for what goes on, as we even today we find in Ephesians chapter 5. But here we see Israel lifted up their eyes, and when they saw the Egyptians and they saw Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they prayed and they cried out to the Lord. So let's read on a little bit. they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? I remember before that they cried out to the Lord for all the slavery and the things they had to do. But now they're reminded, they think back of the things that they can blame somebody else for here. He says, whom you've seen today, ye shall see them, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. That's what they were telling them now, because of this one thing, lifting up their eyes. Now the question is, do we do that? Do we forget that quickly? The Lord just proved himself over and over and over, and now they're being chased, and they're saying we should have kept our mouth shut and stayed back here. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So the Lord is working here. He knows what's going on. He's allowing this to happen, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? Now, right now, at this moment, what is out in front of Israel? There's a pillar of a cloud and a fire ahead of them. That's in front of them, okay? Let's read a bit. So he says, go forward. And so now he wants them to keep their eyes forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon horsemen. Now, look at this verse. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So now we're going to see some value in this pillar. It went before them. They were to keep their eyes on that. So they took their eyes off of the pillar, which was ahead of them, which was taking them to the Red Sea, because it was leading them. And now they move it behind them. So when they turned around and looked back now, what did they see? They couldn't see the Egyptians. They saw this pillar and this cloud that blocked the view. Now, we need to keep that in mind, because we walk by faith. We don't have a pillar of cloud. We don't have this pillar of fire before us showing us every move we should make, every step we should take ahead of us. We walk by faith, and we have this sure word before us, and it will prove itself over and over and over in our lifetime. And we have a choice. We can be like these, and just a few days after some miraculous thing that the Lord has done for us, something else will pop up, and we will forget what had just happened to us. And we'll lose that faith. So, verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea in the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all the Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch. Now who does the looking? The Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians, where? Through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. So who has control here? Who has the right eyes in the right place? Who is capable of seeing through this? None other than the Lord. So they had to be totally dependent upon Him. And it goes on and talks about how they were destroyed and so forth. And so as we finish out this particular chapter, we see that Israel actually praised the Lord. They were, it really meant something to them. And so in chapter 15, which we've read before, has to do with a praise to the Lord. It was a psalm written unto the Lord. And then we talked a little bit about verse 20, that Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, she had her say-so here too. And notice what happens after she makes this statement here, 20 and 21, Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." So everybody is rejoicing and celebrating. And what do we read? So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness. As soon as we read the word wilderness, we need to be aware. Be aware as well as beware. So now they've got their eyes on something else. It's only been a couple of days here. We read on him. We read the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured. So every time we see the word wilderness, we can probably count on the fact a few words later, few verses later, we're going to read that they murmured. So this, and we know that the Lord was the one who was leading them. He's the one that put the pillar in front of them, and the cloud or the fire, and that was how they were to take a direction. And so when something like that happens, you kind of have somebody to blame, right? I mean, you've just taken us out of the wilderness, or taken us out of, brought us through the Red Sea. That was great. But now you're going to lead us into the wilderness again. I'm speaking as men would think. And that's our selfish mind and our selfish heart when we do that. We don't recognize that the Lord has just taken us through something and proved Himself, and now we're stepping into something else, and that's what's happening here with these people. It took 3 days, and they murmured. And so the first murmuring we have after they left Egypt was concerning thirst. And so we looked at that a little bit last week. So that's where we left off. And now let's read the last couple of verses in this chapter. Chapter 15, 26. It said, if thou wilt diligently... Well, let me back up for a second. I need to read verse 25 on. After they murmured. And he cried unto the Lord... And the Lord showed him a tree which he had cast into the waters. The waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statue and an ordinance. And there he proved them. And so we talked a little bit about that tree. And I suggested that tree is represents the cross. Remember, it's the cross before the crown. It's sufferings before glory. That's what this book is about. Now, did these people have life before this? If the Lord would have killed them all right then, would they have a resurrection? You bet. They've been redeemed. And he'll tell you 16 times in the book of Exodus alone that these are my people. He doesn't say that to somebody who's an unbeliever, but he's speaking to a nation that's called out for a purpose. So I believe the gist of this throwing the tree in represents suffering before glory. This book was really, this passage of Scripture is written to overcomers. Are they going to overcome this wilderness? And we see that entire nation, except for a handful, I say a handful because a couple more besides Joshua and Judges, there are some Levites who did, and since they were numbered with them as soldiers, they themselves, there was Eleazar that made it through. That was, I believe that was Moses' son. He made it through the wilderness, and he survived, and you'll read about him in the book of Joshua. So I think there's two or three more that we might throw in there. But needless to say, the Lord was leading them. He's the one who was responsible for which direction they took, and they had, we might say, well, they certainly had a gripe about that, but that's not true. We want the Lord to lead us. We want him, we should want him to take us through things that we need for shaping our faith. And that's exactly what I think is happening here. And so he says, he said in verse 26, after this very thing, okay, at this point, they're happy. They're pretty happy about everything because they got water. And don't ask me how 1.5 to 2 million people was able to drink from this, if it was miraculous or whatever. I don't know how that happened. But we read on a little bit further. He says, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, here's the key to everything. If we will hearken, why don't we do that? We know that we know who he is, what he is, what he's capable of doing, and what do we always hearken to the voice of the Lord? These are words that were written to them, but I think there's a principle here, no doubt. And we'll do that which is right in his sight, and we'll give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. We know this is dispensational, but still, he has his words that he's spoken to us. And when we rightly divide them, then we need to obey them. I will put none of these diseases upon, these infirmities upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elam, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Now, let's consider this. The Lord has done something for us that we're in a circumstance that is almost unbearable, perhaps, or anything. When things happen to us, you need to stop and notice how powerful your mind is. And the things that will go through your mind after what the Lord has done for you. And you'll think the most negative things in the world. And Paul says something about that in Corinthians. And I don't have that passage in front of me. It's something that we need to think about. You know, where did all these thoughts come from? These negative thoughts. I just came through this thing and I'm not even thinking about the Lord. Well, that's what he's telling them here. If they will do that, if they'll listen to his words, that he will not do that. And so they come to Elam, and now they're satisfied. There's 12 wells of water that tastes great, and we know that there's something here that speaks to the fact that there were 12 tribes, and one was each one of these wells were represented there. Whether they understood that, I don't know. And the 70 palms, whether they understood that they were going to be that channel of blessing, that the living water would pass to the nations. They were going to be the ones who were responsible for that. I don't know if they understood that or not. But here they are, and they're very happy and content. So now think about ourselves in the same situation. Here the Lord has done something for us, and we're happy. And now I can enjoy the earth again. Up until now, I have to stop and think about the Lord and spiritual things and put my eyes above. And all of a sudden, what happens to my old flesh? Okay, I like this, having water right here at my disposal and so forth. And so we read nothing more there. It doesn't say they stayed a year there or whatever. But the next verse, I don't know why we have a chapter break here, because it continues. And they took their journey from Elam, and the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, that's pronounced Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai. So they're still on their way to Sinai. They haven't received the law. On the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of Israel, how many of them? The whole congregation murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. So they just came out of this beautiful place, this oasis we might call it, and it was only a matter of days. and they see they come into another wilderness. So if we stop and pay attention here, every time we, well, as I said, every time we see the word wilderness, we should, and they come into this place, we should be prepared that they're going to complain. And so already, after a few days, they're complaining, and they are they're not happy. They've already forgotten. They've forgotten they've come out of Egypt. They've forgotten what happened at the Red Sea. They've forgotten already this oasis. And what does it say? And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, or the meat pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So the second murmuring is associated with hunger. And you notice they look back to Egypt. Each time so far, they're looking back into Egypt, but what they had before. And they needed somebody to blame. So first they blamed Moses. Now they're blaming Aaron and Moses. But in the real sense, they're blaming God, because he's the one that selected these guys, and he's not the answer to everything in their mind. And so we need to be careful ourselves, that when we are confronted with something and we begin to think, well, why is this happening to me? And I've been a good guy, and remember Lord, on all the great things I've done here, and all the things I've given up. I mean, it's amazing what can come through a person's mind, what can go through a person's mind when they're being tested. And I suspect that testing has a lot more to do than just me as an individual in my flesh. No doubt about that. But I think there's one who has some level of power, I'm speaking of this devil, and has some level of power that can have influence on your thoughts, whether it means that he creates some of the circumstances or whatever. But anyway, that's exactly what the devil wants to happen, and that is for you to have these kind of thoughts and so forth. I'm doing a private study on on the mind. And the different minds in Scripture. There's several minds in Scripture. We want the mind of Christ, but there's several. And I think one of the first ones that's mentioned is in Isaiah, when he speaks about blessed. I'm not going to quote this correctly, but he speaks about the man whose mind is stayed on the, I will keep him in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. The double shalom. At the word peace, he should say, he should keep you in peace. But when you double it like that, now we get the idea of perfection. We'll find out about the bond of peace in, I think it's Ephesians or Colossians. And in another place it speaks of the perfect peace. And they're almost identical scriptures. So anyway, we see that perfection, which has to do with going on to the end, completing something, not being perfect, but rather being completing something. When it comes to peace, well, that's the guy whose mind is stayed on him. That's what he's going to be rewarded with. So anyway, there's definitely an issue here with the mind and with the multitude. The fact that there's many people that say these things and do these things, and these people are right in the middle of it. Well, they all get in as a crowd. Just like many people who threw down the palm leaves before the Lord when he rode into town there on the colt, and just before his death, a few days before his death. Many of those people who did that stood and screamed in that crowd before, but crucify him, crucify him. And that's just a matter of the mind and what happens when you're dealing with multitudes and others, and we have to be careful who we listen to and so forth. So anyway, out of hand here, but here we see the second murmuring, and it has to do with hunger. Now, I don't want to I don't know if we'll take the time to read through this whole passage, but I think there's some good things here to glean from. And I better have my notes ready because I'm going to need them. So let's read verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now we understand why this happened before Sinai, before they came to the place where they were going to receive the law. He is proving them as to whether or not they would be able to obey his law. Well, we're going to find out that when we get to chapter 19, we still have three chapters, to go to catch up with 19. But it's in 19 that they all wholeheartedly together said, "Yes, we will keep these commandments. Make a covenant with us. We'll keep this." So at that point, when they made that statement and they agreed to that, then the Lord was going to take them up on it. But we see here that here's what's happening between leaving Egypt and Sinai. And they're being tested. They're being proved. And they need to understand that, hey, we're not so hot after all. We need to understand that. We're not so hot. We're not so faithful after all. We need to be proved and tested and just see what kind of a person we really are, what kind of thoughts we will have. And it shall come to pass, verse 5, that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Remember, these are the words that the Lord gave Moses to give to them. So we got to keep track of, if we keep track of all the things that he's saying here, he's very specific on what they're going to do, what they're supposed to do. And we're going to see that many of them didn't obey him in a moment. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At evening, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against, and what are we that ye murmur against us? Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. So they're, I'm sorry, I read over that passage here. They're blaming Moses and he's basically saying these murmurings are really against the Lord. You may be murmuring against me and Aaron, but these you're really murmuring against the Lord. And so he said, This shall be when shall give you in the eat flesh you eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to all the congregation of children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, and he hath heard your for he hath heard your murmurings. Boy, what a way to appear before the Lord. That you're here because you're murmuring, and the Lord is going to answer your murmurings. And it came to Aaron, spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. So here was one time that when they looked, look what they saw. They saw the very glory of the Lord. He was preparing them because they were going to build a tabernacle that was going to be a dwelling place. It was going to be the place that they would see the glory of the Lord. And so he's preparing them for that. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, At even, ye shall eat flesh, and in morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. So you got to be careful what you ask for. Especially when you're murmuring, be careful, because they're going to get this to eat for 40 years. The Lord is going to keep his word that he's going to supply everything they need in their lifetime since they've come out of Egypt. We need to be careful because the Lord is going to supply our needs. And we need to be careful that the things that we think are not earthly, because the Lord may give it to us, and then we're going to pay for it. We'll learn some lessons out of this if we need to learn lessons. And it came to pass that in the evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, and as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." And so he's going to give them instructions, specific instructions here about how much to take, when to take it, and so forth. And let's drop down a little bit here because of time's sake. I guess I need to read some of this. Verse 17, "The children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer," so he gave them some particular measures here how to do it. "He that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them." So here is this issue that the Lord is going to answer their prayer, but they still didn't listen to all the things he said and do it specifically. And I think about Ephesians 4 and 5. I think we ought to read that every morning when we get up and remember it, because there's a lot of things there that the Lord has told us to do and how to do it and how we are to walk. And it's so easy. I mean, if you just concentrated on one, it's not enough. I mean, everything there is listed. And if we took and read that every day until it finally set in our mind, it may be a little bit easier to attack some of those things. And certainly these people, they were still thinking, their mind is still in the flesh, their mind is still, and by the way, one of the next tests that's going to come before them is in chapter 17 and verse 8, where it says, "Then came Amalek." And Amalek represents the flesh. So the Lord's going to cover everything needs to be covered before they receive this law. Let's read on a little bit further. It came to pass, verse 22, I think I might have missed some things here. "Then on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worms therein. And if we read on a little bit further, we'll read that some of the people, verse 27, "It came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day far together, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws?" How important every single word of the Lord's is, and to understand that. And so he's God, you're going to do this, and it's going to be represent something on the Sabbath and so forth, and that brings us down to the end of the chapter. Verse 35, "And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan." Now, and then he goes on and gives us a little about the measure here. "And an omer is a tenth part of an ephah." Well, what's an ephah? Well, if you go look at the definition of ephah, it tells you it's so many parts of something else. So you got to dig a little bit here to understand. But it's somewhere, I believe, an ephah is around close to 9 gallons of English terminology here. So anyway, for what that's worth. But I'm going to just go a little bit further here. Chapter 17. "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide." So we've already been through this once. We've already been challenged with this idea of nothing to drink. And we'll read a little bit of this before we, maybe down through 7, and we'll stop. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" Why do you try the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" After everything that had gone before them now, how easy it is for them to forget. And I wonder sometimes if it's the same with us. And it may take us years or whatever, but the Lord has done something, many things for us along the way, and I think we will tend to forget that. Because now we're in our new world, we're in this new problem that's facing us, and we forget about all the good things. All we think about is the bad things. How important it is for the mind to be stayed on Him. How do we do that? The children of Israel were to memorize Scripture. And it would be as to their, what does it say about the, on their frontlets, right in front of their face was the goal. That's what we should do with the things that we need in our lifetime, in our dispensation, our hope and calling. We need to memorize that to the point that it should be in your mind. It should actively appear in your mind when something else doesn't. That's a big thing to ask for. I'm speaking from experience, and that is little things can easily affect my mind, and I'll forget all the wonderful things that the Lord's either done for me or He's promised, and so forth. And that's that flesh, and that's that enemy we have. Let's read on a little bit further. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb." Where's Horeb? It's Mount Sinai. "And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So I think I'm going to stop there a little bit ahead of time, which is good. Good thing. And we will leave that for what it's worth in our own lives and for the things that we're confronted with. I know this for a fact. The Lord keeps His word, and I know for a fact that He's not doing things because He enjoys it and just to see what we're capable of handling, but because I know He does it for the good, for our own good. And I think we need to remember that when we're approached with anything that's certainly not pleasant in our lives. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You that You are close at hand to us, that You do care about us in every step that we take and all the things that confront us in our life. Just that You continually remind us of Your word and Your promises, that we will use that when we make the decisions we are confronted with in this life. Thank You for each individual here, we ask Your hand upon each and every one, and upon the things in the wildernesses that we step into in our lives. And these things we thank You in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.